Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are at a climax point in this conversation between Abigail and David. She has laid out her rationale humbly, logically, biblically. David, this is not who you are. You know that God is the one that is ultimately in charge of vengeance. He has made you a promise. Don't act out of character. Some really, really good advice. And now this is the moment of truth. What will David do with what God has used Abigail to remind him of? So we're in 1 Samuel 25, and we're in verse 29, where the Bible says, "Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul." So Abigail is continuing her conversation with David, and she said last episode to David, "Hey, you know, God is on your side. He's going to give you the kingdom. You have maintained your character before him. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling." This is a masterful illustration that Abigail is giving. I want to talk about it, John, but I see that you're chomping at the bit, so I'll let you explain it.
Oh, I just love this whole thing that Abigail is saying right here, Pastor. I love how that she delves not just into the current situation, but broadens it out to all of David's life and his future.
Right.
How this affects your future, David, and look at your future. Have your future in mind. Don't just live on the altar of the immediate. Look at the future and all God has prepared for you.
And to me, the illustration is just so great. David, I know that this is taxing, that this Saul is after you. But here's what God's going to do. God's going to take care of your situation. He's going to throw out all of these things that are bothering you like you would throw a rock out of a sling. Now, if anybody is going to be encouraged by the thought of a rock leaving a sling, it's going to be David. Because that's where David learned about God, in that wilderness with that bear, with that lion, that sling that he had. That's where David saw God show himself strong against Goliath with that sling. And now Abigail says, David, God is the wielder of the sling, and God's going to sling this thing out and you're going to be the victor. It to me, it's just such a masterful illustration.
Oh, it certainly is. And I love also her verbiage, how you are going to be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Mm. I mean, just what fitting imagery she gives here. She really has a way with words as she talks to David and gives him advice about what he needs to do.
And then she says in verse 30, "And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid." So David, listen. Keep your eyes on the big picture. I know what's happening in your life. I know it's frustrating. God's going to sling that thing out. And you're going to be sitting on your throne one day, and you're going to see all the blessings of God. So please don't let this situation right now be a blemish in that memory. To say, oh, you know what? In that situation there with Nabal, I took matters in my own hands. I avenged myself and I regret it. David, don't do something in the moment that you're going to regret, knowing that God has the whole big picture under control.
You know, and Abigail, the way she's talking here, it gives us a good view of looking at life in general, of how we live, not just for today, what happens today. We live with eternity in view. We live with the future in view, what God has in plan, what God has in store. And Abigail says, David, you know, if you do wrong right now, it's going to be a bad mark against you, and you're going to regret it someday. And Satan so much wants to get us to focus on the immediate. What do I need right now? What I have to have? Rather than taking the long view of life and say, okay, I want to live today so that tomorrow I will be glad how I live today because I live for God.
That's exactly it. And that's the point I wanted to make as well. And that is, David, don't make the decision now that the future you will regret. There's a future that God has for you. David, you know it. God's already told you. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. And there's going to come a day, David, that the future David is going to look back at the situation. And if you do now what you want to do now, the future you is going to say, oh, I regret that. So do now what the future you will endorse and approve of.
As I think about what Abigail tells David, my mind just goes to Romans chapter 6, where Paul talks so much about yielding ourselves to God, yielding our instruments to God. And I think of that phrase where Paul says, you know, what fruit had ye then in those things wherever you're now ashamed? You're ashamed of that old lifestyle of sin. So don't go back to that. Follow right. God. Be sanctified in your living.
That's a great application as well. Really, there's two statements that you'll make eventually. One is, I wish I had. The other one is, I'm glad I did. So what Abigail is saying here is, David, don't get to the future you and say, I wish I had. Get to the future you and say, I'm glad I did. And so she just lays it out, doesn't she? Look at verse number 32. So finally now, Abigail has finished her speech, her pitch to David. And the Bible says in verse 32, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. So David sees immediately that God has used this woman to confirm the things that God has already iterated in David's life. And he sees it for what it is.
Oh, he sure does, Pastor. And I see what a stark difference between David and Saul. How when Saul is given wisdom by Samuel, Saul doesn't follow that. But David, even in this heated moment, David has the character to recognize the word from God that it is.
I wonder if I have that character. I think oftentimes I don't in the moment. I wonder, my friends, if you have that character. When God sends you a humble person to gently, lovingly, biblically, kindly demonstrate to you that your intended course of action is not right and you're going to regret it, and it's not in concert with what you know God's plan is for your life, but you just, it would be so easy just to mop up the battle and take care of that fool, Nabal. I mean, everything in David was wanting to do that. Am I humble enough to be confronted and then to see God in that? That David saw this more than just a beautiful lady that had some logical words. He saw this as, God, you brought this person into my life. And I would say to you, my friends, today, God, that's the way God does it. God uses people to communicate to people, even in the communication of the gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? So if God has brought somebody into your life who is humbly telling you things that maybe you don't want to hear, but that you know you need to hear and you know it's truth, then see God in it. That's my point. See God in that. God did that. God is speaking through them.
And I also see, Pastor, it challenges me to be the person of God lays on my heart to speak to somebody, to say, this may not be something they want to hear, but I know if I need to go with a heart of compassion, love, and share this, I need to have the boldness to speak what God wants me to in the time of need.
That's a really good thought as well. Let me see here. Where are we?
Help I think 33, John. I think 33.
Okay, verse 33, yes. And blessed be thy advice. So initially, David said, thank God. We know that God did this. God sent you. And then he also is thankful for her. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thou hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. Boy, you really helped me. Thank you. Thank you for telling me what I didn't want to hear. Thank you for challenging my course of action. And, you know, I'm grateful to the Lord. I'm grateful for the advice, and I'm grateful for you.
It's interesting to see how quickly David changes. You know, this would not have taken a long time for Abigail to say this. I mean, David sees the food, obviously he sees the provisions, but David does have a sensitive heart that can be touched by the Spirit of God very quickly. And David, listen to what Abigail says. He realizes this is from God, and he is very grateful, which is, again, a great sign of a person who loves the Lord, is they're a grateful individual for good advice. And David and Abigail here, just what a great interchange we have about Abigail going to somebody who's doing wrong and David responding correctly when he's been shown what is wise.
And there's a group of people here that we tend to overlook, and that is there are 400 men standing by. Now, remember, my friends, a few episodes ago when Saul was in that cave and David had opportunity. Remember, the men in the cave were like, David, this is your chance. Get him. So the men are already predisposed to take matters in their own hands. They have a might makes right. They're happy to go fight. They want this to happen. Not one of them has thought to try to talk David out. And yet all of them had heard David's rationale. I'm not going to avenge myself. The Lord's going to take care of this. Here's my speech to Saul. They were all privy to that, and none of them got the heart of David in that. So I just find it interesting that it took a stranger to tell David what these men should have protested and told David already.
That's a great observation, Pastor, that these 400 men, you know, all the men would have been there when David talked to Saul, and now they're there whenever Abigail speaks to David, and David has to humble himself before his men and say, I was wrong. That was the wrong course of action, and Abigail, you're right. I thank you so much for coming to me.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Abigail, for your good advice. In verse 34, for in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except that thou hasted to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light anybody. I mean, I would have destroyed everybody were it not for you standing in the gap. And that must have made Abigail feel so appreciated in that moment, that David recognized, hey, the Lord used you, Abigail, and because you obeyed the Lord, now all of these, and I'm no doubt Abigail knows these servants. She knows that they've been abused. She knows that her husband's been cruel to them. Many of them are in the exact same situation she's in. And her willingness to confront David has saved many lives.
This would have had to make her just beyond pleased to know that God had used her. She had done what she knew to be right. And it had worked out as God worked in the heart of David. And this just has to be a great day for Abigail to see what has unfolded.
David received of her hand that which she had brought him. So David received the gift. He said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. I have done what you've told me to do because I believe in who you are. And our words are only as good as our character. And what David said is, Abigail, I see the Lord in this. Your words made sense, but it went beyond your words making sense. It went into the very character of who you are and the God who used you in my life.
You know, and David does show us that how we ought to respond to people who come with us with these kind of concerns. You know, they are people who are coming to us because they are people who are well-intended and they does speak to their character. So rather than attacking the messenger like a wicked person would do, respond correctly, be grateful to the messenger, and realize this is a person of great character who would come and speak to me about this issue.
Does it make a difference who you are? You might, in Bible days, women didn't have, you know, the kinds of authority that they have today or the kind of personhood necessarily. But it makes no difference what your position is. You might feel like you're in a trapped situation. No doubt Abigail felt that way. But God can use you as you walk with Him, as you exercise godly wisdom, as you stay sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, as you learn His Word. You know, God used Abigail in a profound way. This passage, honestly, if I were a lady listening to this podcast, I would probably go back and read and reread this whole speech of Abigail, this whole episode, and just see what principles God has for my life, because she stands as a great example to all women everywhere. Well, I hope that helps today. We're going to dive into the last part of this chapter next episode, Lord willing, finish it, and I hope you'll stay along with us. God bless you today, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.